Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood on the Eshcast.
On Tuesday, the J-pop and alternative hotspot hits your eardrums on No Borders, No Race.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, with the live issues program's post-episode recaps on live right after your favorite shows and taking all of your questions.
It's going down each week, only in the land of Ash. Nerdcore at its finest.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo. Hope everyone is having a great summer so far, even if you've wound up spending it mostly indoors, which, considering the heat, I wouldn't blame you. At the very least, there's tons of anime that is airing on Crunchyroll, Funimation, and the Anime Network that you can catch up on. And a great way to catch up on this anime binge is to check out a little article that I helped to write with our buddies over at Wicked Anime. And we talked about such choices as Sweetness and Lightning, New Game, Orange, Relife, and my personal pick, Momokuri. Be sure to visit the Nerdy Show site to read up all about it, because we here at the Land of Ash love those peeps at Nerdy Show, so give them some love. Anyways, let's get this week's playlist started. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these records on cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. And today, we're going to start the show with the latest track from Screen Mode, which also serves as the opening theme to the latest season of Food Wars. They call it Rough Diet.
Diamonds on the road. 何を成し遂げるために。 何度もショックウェーブショックウェーブもっと高い場所の景色を求め俺たちは行くんだ心へ燃えてる炎を照らし出してるんだろう誰かのもんじゃない自分だけのスペシャル
全てをさらけ出して
Tonight
Campanello with Da Vinci from 2014's Cinema Jack album. The band appeared at this past year's South by Southwest Festival, as well as the annual J-Pop Summit in San Francisco last month. Now, that's an event I need to remember to check out sometime. One of the most anticipated animated films on my radar finally hit Netflix this past week. The Little Prince, directed by original Kung Fu Panda helmer Mark Osborne, was initially supposed to be released in theaters this past March, but 1 week before it was set to hit the big screen, Paramount Pictures decided to pull it out of distribution without giving any reason whatsoever. Perhaps they thought it wouldn't beat Zootopia or something regarding money. Probably regarding money. But Netflix came in and saved it from being gone from our shores and premiered on the streaming site on August 5th. And you know what? After watching it, Paramount made a huge error not releasing this film to theaters in the first place. The Little Prince focuses on a little girl whose mother is doing all she can to get her into a prestigious academy. This means practically studying day in and out for the child, giving no chance for the girl to have an actual childhood. But that's when she befriends an old aviator next door who shares with her the story of his encounter with the Little Prince. Now, what I love about this film is its way of switching between the visual styles. The real-world aspect is showcased in 3D, whereas the Little Prince's story is presented in a stop-motion means. Both are stunning, with the former on the same quality as a Blue Sky Studios film, and the latter looking like something from a Henry Selick production. However, the most important aspect of the film is its means of telling the story. And after watching this movie, there's quite a big life lesson that both kids and especially parents can learn from it. The importance of letting your kid be a kid, instead of forcing them into adulthood as soon as they start to walk and talk. The Little Prince also boasts a great cast of actors, with Jeff Bridges as the aviator, Rachel McAdams as the mother, Benicio del Toro as the snake, Paul Giamatti as the teacher, and James Franco as the fox. Now, these are some top-of-the-line actors in this little film, but the real stars that shine the most are Mackenzie Foy as the little girl and Riley Osborne, who's actually the director's son, as the Little Prince. You'll also notice that there are no proper names for these characters, just their roles in the story. Well, you know, if the story is good enough, then the characters don't actually need names, just a task to fit into the narrative of it all. So, if you haven't yet, I highly recommend watching The Little Prince on Netflix. Again, a shame that it couldn't get a theatrical run like it was supposed to, but what matters now is that people can actually watch it. And I highly recommend you watch it. It is such a great movie. You can learn so much from this film. Anyways, let's get back to this week's playlist, and I'm actually going to spin a song from the soundtrack of The Little Prince, performed by Camille. Here is the original French version of the film's recurring number, Suisse-moi.
Quand on se parle, Para.
2003, Sabrina Heaven release, that was the Michelle Gunn Elephant with Brady Punky Bikini. While the band has been disbanded for quite a while, vocalist Yusuke Chiba and drummer Kazuyuki Kuhara are still kicking ass in the band The Birthday, who last year released their latest album, Gold Trash. Those of you who have read our Top 50 Anime of 2006 to 2015 pieces may know that, like our top albums list, some things either age gracefully or poorly. Series like Spice and Wolf, Puella Magi Madoka Magica, and The Troubled Life of Miss Kotora can be considered timeless because their material wasn't glued to what was the here and now of the time. It's when a series needs to clasp onto the present to make it feel relevant when it's going to be sour a few years later down the line. A great example of a show that hasn't aged well is, sadly, Lucky Star. Unlike something like Azumanga Daioh or Non Non Biori, Lucky Star shouldered itself with references to pop culture and anime, especially Kyoto Anime's other hot property at the time, The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya. Now don't get me wrong, I find Lucky Star to be very funny, but that's because I watched it when it was still fresh and new, so a lot of the things that they were referencing I understood. However, let's flash forward to, let's say, 15 years from now. 2031 AD. Do you honestly think that newcomers to Lucky Star that year will get the references to Initial D, Pony Pony Dash, and a lot of the other anime that's referenced throughout the series? Sadly, probably not, seeing as a lot that's referenced are no longer staples of the anime community. When a show needs to be a product of its time and not look to what's beyond the present day, that's when you know that the show will fail to live up to the rank it once was. Now, I bring this up because Funimation just released Lucky Star on Blu-ray many years after its original licensor Bandai Entertainment went the way of the dodo. And thinking back, while I can appreciate what it was trying to accomplish back then, it just doesn't hold up compared to the anime that was released in the same year, like My Bride is a Mermaid, Nagasarate Arento, and Nodame Kentabile. Hell, even Hayate the Combat Butler did a better job with its referential humor when it premiered the same year, because a lot that they were poking fun of is still popular today. Now, like I said, I'm a fan of Lucky Star. You may even notice that I sometimes use their background music as my background music on my show. But even I have to admit that most of what worked back then with its humor wouldn't work today. Although, the Lucky Channel segments are still as laugh-out-loud funny as they were nearly a decade ago. If only the rest of the show could take a cue from its last couple minutes. Anyways, let's get back to the playlist, and for the sake of feeling retro, let's play the opening theme to Lucky Star. Here are Aya Hirano, Emerikato, Kaori Fukuhara, and Aya Endo with the earworm known as Moquette Serafuku.
いわゆる普通の女の子驚いた私だけ豚骨ハリカネを放り出した。
from her Mars Angst EP that was Hologram Teen with Scratches and Sally. For this new EP, Hologram Teen wanted to experiment with a more techno style to mesh with her already unique disco horror soundtrack mentality. Now, there's quite a lot of anime to watch and catch up on this summer, as I mentioned in the show intro, but I'm not going to be talking about anime in this segment. Instead, something less, like, wowed me in a medium that I thought could never be considered badass. The art of puppetry. Yes, the same form of entertainment that brought us Cookie Monster, Fozzie Bear, and Fafa the Groundhog has delivered unto us a TV series that is unlike anything I've ever seen, and something that I consider to be this summer's hottest program. The show is called Thunderbolt Fantasy. Written by Gen Urobuchi, the same guy who created Madoka Magica and Psycho Pass, and co-produced by Taiwan's Pili International, Thunderbolt Fantasy brings us to an old Eastern setting where two siblings have to protect a mystical sword from getting into the wrong hands. But when one of them is slaughtered, the lone guardian sets off to seek vengeance with the aid of a reluctant wandering swordsman, a mysterious manipulator, and a couple more warriors brought in to help aid in the cause. What makes Thunderbolt Fantasy such a great source of entertainment is that it balances a 5-4 way of puppetry campiness and some impressive fight sequences. Think Crouching Tiger with a dab of Team America thrown in there for comedic relief. You know, minus the vulgar humor of the latter. It's one of those series where you'll know you'll love it or hate it after you view the first 5 minutes of it. And those 5 minutes are filled with some of the most action-packed sword fighting I've seen all year. The puppets bleed, they get chopped up, and they explode with anime-like flair. There's a big part of me that thinks that if Jim Henson was given the chance to do something very adult, and if he were still alive today, Thunderbolt Fantasy would be what he'd turn out. It's dark, gory, violent, but has enough humor and camp to lighten the mood at the right exact moment. You can watch Thunderbolt Fantasy on Crunchyroll, and I highly recommend watching the Episode 0 making of episode before you dive in, as it's just amazing how the show was created. Trust me, it's a fantastic work of puppetry that is yet to be seen on our shores. Here's a recent track from Band-Aid's latest album, Brand New Name, and it goes by the name of Freedom.
Go away, go away, go away, oh, no, my mind, I を信じても定めの行くまま執行猶予巡り巡る君の涙を僕は拭えないし密かにくすぐって語りかけたふりして解いたつまり調理できたの私事故になるんでしょう大丈夫
track from The Oral Cigarettes. That one's called Dip Bap. Of course, some of you may be familiar with The Oral Cigarettes, thanks to their musical contributions to the recent anime series Noragami Arigato. News broke out last week that pre-production had started up on an American TV adaptation of the popular series Sword Art Online. Reki Kawahara's light novel series has currently spawned 18 volumes, 10 manga spin-offs, 2 light novel spin-offs, 2 anime series, 2 films, and 5 video game adaptations. So yeah, this is a super popular series, so naturally Hollywood had to have taken notice and are fast-tracking the show into production with Shutter Island scriptwriter Leita Kalogridis penning the pilot, and odds are I probably butchered that name. I tried saying it like 5-6 times already. But that's my final try of saying that last name of Kalogridis. There it is, Kalogridis. Anyways, in my honest opinion, this is big news for the anime industry. For years, we've seen Hollywood try and fail to do anime adaptations on the big screen. Although, hopefully the curse will be broken with its Ghost in the Shell adaptation. Perhaps it'd be best to adapt this sort of stuff for the television medium. On a network like HBO or a streaming site like Netflix, where you don't have to worry about softening the content to appease the censors that will appear on like CBS or Fox or ABC. But to be clear, I'm not the biggest Sword Art Online fan. I like the show, and I know of its importance in the anime fan base, but in all honesty, there's a reason why it didn't appear in my top 50 anime series list. Now, if you want to talk about an RPG-inspired show that would be amazing if they adapted it into an English-language live-action series, look at Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon? You wouldn't have to change the characters or Americanize it, because I think everyone on that series is of European descent already. Same with Konosuba, which already has that British comedy feel to it, making it a good fit for the BBC. Or imagine Berserk as a live-action series. If people squirm during some of Game of Thrones' bloodier moments, just imagine how they'd react to a normal battle with guts. So like I said, while I'm not the biggest Sword Art Online fan, I am still very excited that this is happening, as it might open up the doors for other titles to be adapted in the same format. And I'll definitely give the series a chance whenever it premieres. I'm in no way going to shut it out completely, but fingers crossed that it's actually going to be good. Let's go back into some more music. Coming up, we've got a little synth pop in the form of the Oakland-based duo Intro Flirt. This is from their latest album, Temporary Heaven, which they describe as the next stage of evolution of their croon wave genre. It's called Spadina. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
From their debut album, Break of Dawn, released back in 2000, that was Do As Infinity with Raven. The band will be releasing a new live DVD on October 5th, recorded during their recent Two of Us acoustic tour. The band also released a new single, Hallelujah, just last month. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, or if you have any questions for our friend Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can find me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. On Twitter at king_baby_duck, on Twitch on twitch.tv/omnistreinc, and on Amino via the video games, anime, and J-pop pages under kingbabyduckesh. Like us on facebook.com/bostonbastardbrigade and on facebook.com/landofesh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including The Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, Nerd Crave, and Smashed Rook. Also, don't forget about our buddies over at Wicked Anime. I've officially become a part of their podcast show, so please be sure to go to the Nerdy Show website and listen to their most recent episode. It's always a great time chatting with Andrew and Jonathan on that program. One final thing before we go. Congrats to Ninja Sister and Pandalicious for reaching 500 episodes of their Electric Sisterhood podcast. To be doing this practically nonstop for 10 years on, that's a feat that most other shows can't say they've achieved. So, big amount of love to our ladies over at Esh. Here's to another 500 more episodes. We're going to be ending today's episode with a brand new track from Glay, which hopefully means a new album is on the horizon. This song goes by the name Deathtopia. And until next time, this is King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard. But it sure helps.
Hey guys, this is Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and host of the No Borders, No Race podcast. What you hear each week on our show is but a mere taste of what you can expect from these talented artists from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. So if you enjoyed something from this week's selections, go to cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, or your local record store to help give these artists your support. We always give our readers and listeners the links to the albums from the respective songs we've spun. So if something resonated with you, give that album name a click and get that record in your possession. Who knows? That one album purchase may help to bring your favorite J-pop artist one step closer to your town. So until next time, keep your volume dimed out and remember to spread the Japanese music revolution wherever your roads take you.